Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. Our political panel still with me are Martin Hayden, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, and Fine Gael TD for Kildare South, Claire Curran, Sinn Féin TD for Roscommon Galway, and her party spokesperson on agriculture. She's in our Athlone studio, and Padraig O'Bean, Aonthu party leader and TD for Meath West. Now, we'll speak to them in a minute, but we're just a few days from now. We will be going through the UK general election. If the polls are anything to be believed, there's a good chance we'll be seeing a new Labour government in Westminster, and indeed potentially with a sizeable majority, and a new Prime Minister in Keir Starmer. We'll get the view of our panel, as I say, on that and how the election will play out and its implications for Ireland, and indeed the leg of the election in Northern Ireland, where 18 MPs will be elected on Thursday night. But first of all, we're going to look at some figures of interest within the Labour Party of the UK. Of interest, because within the upper ranks of Labour right now are a number of very influential Irish figures. I'm joined on the line now by Mark Paul, London correspondent with the Irish Times. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Colm. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Labour's campaign manager, Morgan McSweeney, seemed to be a mastermind behind what's a very effective campaign, albeit against much weakened opposition. But he's effectively, I suppose, the Alistair Campbell of the Labour outfit, although he may take exception to that comparison. Can you tell us a bit about him and how he's been instrumental to the success of this campaign so far?
Yeah, Morgan McSweeney, he's from Macroom in Cork, or just outside Macroom. He's Asian in his late 40s. I mean, he moved over to the UK just after his leaving cert. He became involved in the Labour Party at a pretty young age. He was recruited by Peter Mandelson, actually, to work under Excalibur computer system for kind of sharpening the party's attack lines. And he became very, very influential in London Labour. He helped to run some really, really difficult campaigns against the BNP and working class areas of London. He helped to really kind of sharpen the way the party was run in London. And he got noticed by a lot of people, and eventually he ended up linking up with Keir Starmer when Jeremy Corbyn was still the leader of Labour. And he basically helped to mastermind Starmer's takeover, I suppose, of the Labour Party and how the campaign has been run. I mean, one of the really noticeable things about Morgan McSweeney, well, you know, apart from the fact that how ruthless he is, and I mean that, I suppose, in a positive political sense, some of the things that Labour do now that they didn't do before. I mean, they embrace the Union Jack, they embrace the St. George's flag, all as part of a kind of a strategy for getting...
That was an Irish man's idea, was it?
Yes, that was an Irish man's idea. And that is, you know, Labour embraces the Union Jack because of a guy from Cork thought this was a good idea to do. So he could be, he's probably seen as Keir Starmer's top advisor at the moment. And the question then after the election arises, does he follow Keir Starmer into number 10 or does he stay at Labour HQ and run the party machinery? And that's something I think that people are wondering yet.
All right, because there is a senior figure around Chief Keir Starmer, Sue Gray. She's been preparing Labour for government. She was, of course, in charge of looking into some of the activities in Downing Street around Partygate. But she has strong Irish links, and for such a senior figure, in a surprising area of expertise.
Yes, she is Sue Gray. I mean, she was born and raised in Tottenham in North London, but her mother is from Kilmeaden in Waterford, and her father is from Belcoo. And you know, so she comes from a kind of a big Catholic family, and has always maintained strong links with Ireland. In fact, she's always been a very, very powerful civil servant over the years. But she took actually a time out to run a pub in County Down for a couple of years in the late 80s, and then went back to work in senior civil service roles, and then left the civil service then to go and work for Labour. Now, she's a very, very senior figure. And what her job really has been to do is to prepare Labour for government, and also to repair relations between Labour and all of the devolved mayors like Andy Burnham in Manchester and so on, with whom Keir Starmer had pretty dicey relations. So she will definitely follow Keir Starmer into number 10, assuming, if the polls are correct, that he wins the election. And she will be a very figure between herself and Morgan McSweeney. I mean, they are definitely Keir Starmer's two closest advisors.
And the third most important Irish figure is a Labour veteran and one-time Blairite, Pat McFadden, with strong connections to Donegal.
Yes, that's right. Pat McFadden is the son of two Gaelgors from Falkara in Donegal, who emigrated to Glasgow, where Pat was born. And Pat's now, he's an MP. He's an MP in Wolverhampton. But he's an old Blairite. When Blair first went into number 10, and Pat McFadden was his political secretary, kind of maintaining all his relationships with the MPs. And he's a kind of a very smooth figure who creates this link between Starmerism, whatever that is now, and the Blairite wing of the party, and he's been part of winning over the right wing and kind of helping with the pro business message. But he's a very, very smooth, calm operator. I mean, if you speak to the guy, he's completely unflappable. But he's the third most important figure, and very, very proud of his Irish roots. And of course, I mean, I was chatting to him before. He goes back to Falkara every year in his holidays, and he grew up in an Irish speaking household, you know.
All right, Pádraic McFadden. That's an interesting third person at the senior level. There's also a number of people running in the election, but unfortunately, we're out of time, Mark. We'd love to get into it, but we will have to let you go. Thanks very much, Mark Paul, London correspondent with the Irish Times. Thanks very much for running us through that. Claire Curran, you've heard the Irish connections there. The British Chamber of Commerce remarks being reported today that they are hopeful of a closer relationship with Ireland and indeed the European Union. Does it matter that there are Irish people around the next, likely next Prime Minister of the UK?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, look, everybody knows, and it's no secret, that there has been damage done to the relationship between Ireland and England, especially post-Brexit, and anything that can help to repair that damage. I mean, England are our nearest neighbours, and it is important that we have a good working relationship with them. So I think that will be important. Keir Starmer has also made, you know, certainly positive commitments in relation to legacy here in the North, and also in relation to the Rwanda policy as well. So I think there can be positives coming out of this. I mean, it does seem more than likely that Labour are going to lead the next government, and I hope we will see positives out of that. You could imagine you couldn't have much worse than what we've had of, you know, the years of austerity under the Tories. So anything is probably almost better than that. But I do think we have an issue as regards the relationship. You know, the people of the North for a long, long time have been and feel like an afterthought when it comes to policies.
I think even holding the election in July was seen as evidence of that, a sign when an awful lot of the potential electorate clear out and go on their holidays, that even the date of the election didn't take that into account.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can only hope that we will see an improvement. You know, there's nothing negative. There's nothing not to be gained by having a good, positive relationship with our nearest neighbour. And I hope we'll have that after this election on the 4th of July.
All right. Pádraic Tobin, from your point of view, are there grounds for optimism? The next Prime Minister of the UK is a man who reputedly plays five-a-side football in a Donegal GAA jersey and knows Belfast from his time as a human rights advisor to the Public Prosecution Service.
Yeah, there's no doubt, having Starmer's experience of operating and working in the north of Ireland, he's going to have a far greater understanding of what's happening in the north of Ireland than his predecessors. And to be honest, I don't think anybody could be worse than his predecessors. They have taken on a policy of unilateralism, completely ignoring any effort for partnership with Ireland on a range of different issues, from, you know, obviously from Brexit, but also from the collapse of Stormont and the Legacy Bill. And I will just enter a little bit of caution on the Legacy Bill. I went over to Westminster to discuss with Labour MPs and peers around the Legacy Bill. They had a chance to stop it when it was in the House of Lords, and they didn't. Now, they say they're going to obviously repeal it when they get into government. I would hope that's true, but I just would not bet 100% on it. Hopefully they will engage properly with that. I do think, you know, Ireland's relationship with Britain will significantly improve, given the fact that the Labour Party have such Irish ties and a more multilateral attitude towards relationships anyways.
All right. Chance for a reset, Martin Hayden.
Well, as a government minister, I'm not going to predict the outcome of somebody else's elections coming
sure,
up soon.
Sure, it was worth a try.
But look, at the end of the day, whoever is in charge in Westminster and in the UK is really, really important for Ireland. They're our nearest neighbour, our biggest trading partner. Notwithstanding the strain on our relationship in recent years from Brexit to the likes of the Legacy Bill, challenges around migration, you know, we are interlinked in a lot of what we do. So the British government having a good understanding of our position and having a close working relationship is what we would always hope for from an Irish government perspective.
Any contact with the Labour opposition at this stage?
Well, like, there's always contact between both sides. I was as a backbench TD in my first term in 2011-16, I was a member of the British Irish Parliamentary Assembly, where we, you know, maintain contact with all parties on all sides, and it was a time of the closest of Irish relations that maybe we kind of thought would last forever. The Queen's visit, Michael D. Higgins' state visit back to the UK, was a time of extraordinarily close relations, and that really benefited our state, benefited from trade and beyond.
I want to go back to Claire Curran, because of course the elections that are coming up on Thursday, you have skin in the game, Claire Curran, your parties, and indeed Padraig Tobin's, but how would you call it at this stage? Same as beforehand?
If I was guessing, I'd probably say I can't see anything too much as regards any mad changes from where we're at now. We have, Sinn Féin has 7 MPs. It would be great to make gains, and we're working to make gains, hold what we have and make a gain. But I can't see it changing too much. I predict the DUP may see some losses, but, you know, we're focused on ourselves running a positive campaign, and I hope people will look to Michelle O'Neill, who promised to be a First Minister for all and is putting that into practice.
If there are DUP losses in East Belfast, where Gavin Robinson, their leader, is running, if they were to lose that seat, could you see it resulting in any kind of upheaval or disruption in Stormont?
No, I think we have to be positive. Stormont is there. It's functioning after a long time of not functioning. It's really important that it continues to do what it does. There's lots of issues facing the north, and we need to have Stormont up, running and functioning. It's absolutely essential for the daily lives of the people in the north. And I think Michelle O'Neill is doing a really good job in practicing what she preached in relation to being a First Minister for all. So we need to continue that work. That has to be an absolute priority. Right.
Padraig Tobin, what are your hopes for? Is this really about marking out the ground for the next Assembly election, realistically, for your party?
Well, it's about two things. It is about growth, for sure, and building organisation in the North. But it's also about crowbarring bread and butter issues back onto the political agenda in the North. And, you know, things are very serious around hospital services. We're seeing further centralisation of hospital services in the North at the moment. And, you know, all of the 5 Stormont parties, including Sinn Féin, signed up to the Bengoa report, which is actively closing maternity services, A&E services and, you know, acute services in hospitals in the north. And AIM2 is playing a very important role in actually raising those issues there as well. On Stormont...
Very briefly, yeah.
Yeah, we need to get every party, including Sinn Féin, to sign up to a policy whereby no party can crash Stormont ever again. That's at the heart of the instability within the northern system.
And that's perhaps a matter for another day, another discussion. I am conscious, of course, that with all the talks of elections, especially in the north, we're conscious that the funeral of our much-loved colleague, the former Northern editor here in Tommy Gorman, is due to take place only within minutes here in his native Sligo. He loved the cut and thrust of the campaign. He would have been joining us on Thursday night as a panellist, and he'll be much missed for all of that, as indeed will his many and frequent phone calls to me at the weekend at a time when I edited this week. He was always keen to give a steer and a view and a back and forth and plenty of feedback. So it is a great loss to his family. Our condolences to him, indeed, all of his colleagues here in the newsroom, and for people who met him out in the wider society. Indeed, there were many of those on the sporting pitch, off the sporting pitch, and around the country and abroad. Ar yeshde groa anam.